Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I praise the Lord, and I am thanking Him that we are able to spend this time together. And before we go into the word of the Lord with what God has placed on my heart, let's pray. Father, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you, Lord, that you are a faithful God. And Father, I pray for every single listener, Lord, you know exactly where they're at, not only physically, but spiritually, emotionally, and in the circumstances of their lives. And Father, I pray that you will draw us to an ever closer walk with you. For it is in that intimate knowledge of relationship with you that we know, Lord, that you are a faithful and a true God and that you love us with an everlasting love. So we can trust you with our future and we can surely trust you with our present. So, Father, I pray that you will meet needs. I take authority over the work of the enemy. Lord, you have given us that kind of authority to bind and to loose, to you sent us forth to preach the gospel, Lord. That great commission has not been changed, to heal the sick and to comfort all those who mourn in Zion. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us, Lord, for all these beautiful purposes. The same mission, the same purpose that was on Christ to preach the good news while he alone fulfilled that great work of atonement and redemption. Yet we are to follow in his example and footsteps and to preach the way of salvation, which is found only in Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. So Lord, I thank you for every listener. And I thank you, Lord, for faith and hope and yes, joy to rise in their hearts, knowing that you love us and that you are mindful of the smallest details in our lives. We give you praise for answered prayer. We give you praise for, Lord, the many testimonies that are coming in answer to prayer. And Lord, now be with us. May the Spirit of God minister to every heart in Jesus' name, that you would receive the glory. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, it is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. And before I go in with what the message of the Lord has me to share, I just have a phrase that God put on my heart to tell you that all is well. All is well. Now, you notice I didn't say all will be well, but as that beautiful hymn goes, it is well with my soul, regardless of the things that we face in this life. Through the trials and the testings, through the tribulation that Jesus was said would be part of our earthly experience, we can say all is well because we know who holds time in his hands. We know who holds the keys of death and hell. We know him who was dead and is alive forevermore. His name is Jesus. And so regardless of what we face, we know that our God is in control. He's in control of our lives. And it's important to make that confession and to believe it. So regardless of what you're going through today, brother and sister, all is well. And I can say that because there are times in my life it was very difficult to say something like that because it didn't seem all was well. It seemed in the midst of crisis and calamity, and I'm not making light of sometimes the very dark places that we go through as Christians. Yet I do know, and I can declare from personal testimony, from experience of years of walking with the Lord, he has always been faithful. The scripture says, blessed is the man who goeth through the valley. So if you find yourself in a valley experience, just meditate upon the truths of God's worth, the validity and the greatness of his promises that all is well. All is well. Blessed is the man who puts his trust in the Lord, he shall never be ashamed. And we can rest on that. Praise God. Well, I thank God for his goodness and the way the Lord has directed me as we begin the broadcast today and in the following broadcasts of this week, as long as the Lord would lead and guide. We're going to talk about keys, and this is going to be a teaching from the Word of God. But even in our natural lives, keys are really important. In the world in which we live, they're a big part of security, aren't they? We lock our houses, we lock our cars in most cases. Now, years ago, that wasn't always the case, but the way the world is going, we find that locking places of importance, our homes, our office, our garages, our garden sheds even, are important. And that is because we don't live in a safe place. I am very grateful for the Lord. A dispensation is coming when Jesus returns and sets up his kingdom. There will be no war. There will be no evil inflicted. There will be plenty because Jesus will rule the nations with a rod of iron, praise God. And he will perfect, he will give mankind that kind of utopia that we have always longed for since the Garden of Eden. And even though there is going to be perfection, nonetheless, it's amazing if Satan is released at the end of 1,000 years, there still will be some that will realize that in spite of the goodness and the bounty of the Lord, they still will choose the lies and deception of Satan. So keys are important. Have you ever lost your keys? Oh my goodness, our lives revolve around them, don't they? Especially in our modern day, we've got, you know, our fobs to the car, and people now have got all kinds of advanced security with their cell phones and things like that. So locking things are very important. And we're going to talk about keys, but we're going to be looking at the keys that are found in Scripture. And on a practical note, as you get older, you learn a little bit of wisdom, even in practical ways, because I could do that many times in distraction and haste. I put down my keys. And then you run around in a frenzy trying to find, where did I put my keys? Well, I've learned I've got a little hook. It's four keys. And I have trained myself, whether it's keys to the office or keys to the house or my car, they go in a certain place. And you know what? I've eliminated a lot of stress from my life. So if you have a problem losing your keys, I advise you to find a place where you always put them, and you'll eliminate those times of dire emergency when you can't find your keys and you need to be on your way. Praise God. All right. Well, I would like to read a scripture, a very familiar passage speaking about keys, that is found in the third chapter of Revelation, and I'm going to be reading verse 7. And it's just one verse. In these opening chapters of the book of Revelation, you know that Jesus is addressing the seven churches. He has messages for each one of them. And in that seventh verse, the Lord says, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth." And he goes on to commend them. The one church he does commend, "I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and has kept my word, and has not denied my name." Praise God. So this is perhaps the most familiar passage that comes to mind when we hear about keys in the Scripture or read about them. And let me give you now a definition from a Bible dictionary on keys. And you may not have known this is somewhat fascinating. The key of the native Oriental lock, and I guess we can include that, the Middle East, was 7 inches to 2 feet in length. And it was fitted with wires or nails, which were inserted into a hollow bolt, which serves as a lock and raises other pins so as to allow the bolt to be drawn back. Sometimes it was made of bronze or iron, and sometimes it was so large that one was One key was as much as one man could carry. Sometimes it was worn on the shoulder in Old Testament times as a symbol of power and authority. The giving of keys to a person signifies the entrusting of him with an important charge. And this is going to be important as I share the scripture found in Isaiah. In modern times in England, certain government officials receive a golden key at their induction into office. Now, what I'd like to do is go to another passage of scripture found in Isaiah, the 22nd chapter. It's verse 22 that I want to read, but in context, that 22nd chapter, Isaiah is talking the burden of the valley of vision. And he talks about, in verse 5, a day of trouble, of treading down, and of perplexity by the Lord God of hosts in the valley of vision, breaking down the walls, and of crying to the mountains. And yet, going on a little bit further in that chapter, in verse 15, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, go get thee unto this treasure, even unto Shebna, which is over the house, and say, what hast thou here, and whom hast thou here, that thou hast hewed thee out a sepulchre here, as he that heweth out a sepulchre on high, and that graveth an habitation for himself in a rock? Behold, the Lord will carry thee away with mighty captivity, and he will surely cover thee. And I will drive thee from thy station, and from thy state shall he pull thee down. So this is a judgment, an execution of judgment upon one Shebna, who was the treasurer of the house of the Lord. And we're going to hear some very positive things of what God did after this particular removal of this person who was the treasurer. But to do that, we will have to reserve that for tomorrow's broadcast, and I invite you to tune in at this same time. We're heard on this station every day, Monday through Friday, or should you miss a broadcast, feel free to go to our website, unveilchrist.org, click on the broadcast, and you can listen anytime at your convenience. And as always, I give you an invitation to write and share your prayer requests, knowing that I will personally pray for you and send back whatever God gives. God bless you for listening, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.